Adult Authors. I'm Joanne Morrell, children's and young adult fiction writer and author of Short Nonfiction for Authors. Thanks for joining me for the Hybrid Author Podcast, sharing interviews from industry professionals to help you forge a career as a hybrid author, both independently and traditionally publishing your books. You can get the show notes for each episode and sign up for your free author pass over at the Hybrid Author website to discover your writing process, get tips on how to publish productively, and get comfortable promoting your books at www.hybridauthor.com.au. Let's crack on with the episode.
Hello, authors. I hope you're all keeping well in whatever part of the world you reside and listen to the podcast in. Today's interview is a lonersode from me, and I'm chatting tips on writing emotionally charged, fast-paced, contemporary women's fiction. I'll touch upon character development, pacing and plot, emotional depth, writing style, themes and messages, revision and feedback in relation to my soon-to-be-launched contemporary women's fiction book, The Writer, The Hairdresser and The Nurse, written under pseudonym Zara Ellen. So in my author adventure this week, I impulsively bought a puppy. If you saw on socials, I put a picture up of my podcasting setup, and underneath the little desk that I've got was the puppy. Basically, the story is I promised my eldest daughter a puppy going up to high school. Now, she's halfway through her first year at high school. And obviously, through our situation, we've not been permitted to be able to get a puppy. But now our situation has changed and we've been able to get one. It's a Cavoodle puppy and she's seen it online. And I said that I would message the lady, and so I did. And she was like, oh, come and see it the next day. And I was like, I'm not ready for a puppy just yet. So we didn't follow that up. And then I think it was the following week and my sister got in touch with me, tagged me in a post on Facebook that was a picture of it was a Pomeranian that had been put into RSPCA. And I told this was in the school holidays, told my eldest daughter about it, and we went to RSPCA the next morning, but there was lots of people that were already waiting. There'd been lots of comments on it, and at RSPCA it's first come first served for dogs, so the first family took it, and it was quite expensive. It was a very cute little fluffy thing, and I don't know, I just sort of felt like we were on a bit of a dog mission that day. And I just by chance ended up getting back in touch with the lady that we contacted regarding the Cavoodle, and it was still available, and there had been three females and two males. This one had been taken by a family, but the lady went into preterm labor or something like that, so they didn't end up purchasing it in the end. And so there it was, and that's what I said to my daughter, you know, what's for you won't go by you, and you know, it's meant to be your dog. Because each dog we were seeing, she's like, that's my dog, and I was like, no, I don't think it is. You can't just say that about every dog that you meet. So this thing was very cute when we went to see it, and I just thought, there's no way we're leaving without it. But I had absolutely nothing for it, and that's why I keep saying it's an impulse buy, because you know, we took it home in the car sitting on a blooming Coles shopping bag and nothing else, so I had to go straight to the pet store to buy a bed and some dishes and all that. But the breeder was fantastic. Like, I've never had a puppy before, so I've got a big manual about what to do, what not to do. She'd also packed it off with some toys and some food and all that sort of stuff. So it was very placid when we got it in the beginning, and it was quite quiet and it didn't say much, and I'd never even heard it bark, and I was like, it's the cutest, most well-behaved thing ever. And as it slowly started to come out of its shell, it's now a maniac. It's running around the house, like, you know, darting around. It's very still overnight though. Like, it sleeps overnight and I don't hear it or nothing, and it knows to be quiet, and so it's not doing anything like that. It has started chewing though, so that has been a bit of an issue, and that's been driving me a bit nuts. It's kind of grabbing shoes and running off, and I have to run after it. It's like something out of a blooming movie. You know, there's been a few things that I just think, oh my gosh. And also, it's very restricting having this puppy. It's can't really be left alone, and it's almost on the cusp of getting its third jag, so I can't really take it out until that happens. Yeah, for a whole bunch of reasons. If you're a dog dog lover, you'll understand. So, but it has been a joy so far. It has been an amazing alarm clock to my kids. I take it through, they jump up and they're excited and they're happy, and you know, they just get ready and they go off to school and they're getting a lung bitter and it's promoting fitness. And so there's all positives as well as feeling quite restricted with it. And it won't always be that way, that, you know, you can't sort of leave it for very long or whatnot. So it's not a regret. I'm very happy with it. It's very cute. It is gorgeous. But why I'm telling you about this is because if you hear it, it's got a bell on its collar. If you hear a tinkle or whatever in the background, that is the dog, because it will not leave me alone. It's like a shadow. And if you're a longtime listener of the podcast, you know that I batch interviews. So that means I book in about 12 to 15 interviews every 3 months. And that is how my podcast works at the moment. And I do all these back-to-back podcasting sessions. And then I release them once a week up until I run out. And that was this week. I had a whole batching podcast sessions and I had this dog, and I thought, why did you do this at this time? And for the most part the dog behaved. It actually blooming chewed through my podcast cables at one point, which was a bit annoying, but hey ho, it makes life a bit more interesting, I guess. I was also doing the audiobook for my women's fiction, which has not happened yet, but is gonna happen. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm gonna do that, because yeah, I don't want the dog sort of interrupting that. So yeah, fun times with the dog. And obviously the podcast, some great podcast interviews I had this week. Looking forward to sharing those with you in the upcoming weeks. And so that's kept me busy this week. I've also been still running my Kickstarter campaign. Thank you so much to those who have already backed it. It is a massive goal. At the moment, it's sitting around the 47% mark and only has 10 days to go. So the Kickstarter is really to get these book bundles off the ground, and book bundles being what I call immersive experiences into the world of my women's fiction, which is the women in the book always, you know, they have pinot and platter nights when they want to get together and hash out problems and stuff. And these bundles are really for you and your friends, or just you if you like to sit alone, read the book and have your own pinot and platter night. There's stemless wine glasses, platter boards, like these nice really mirror polished Paris cheese knives are really gorgeous. And it's just something different. So if you're interested, you can head over to Kickstarter, look up Zara Ellen, because that's my pseudonym, that's what it's under, the writer, the hairdresser and the nurse, and you can pledge back the project before it ends. If it doesn't fund, the book is still going ahead, but these bundles won't. So because, you know, I'm an author, that's what I do. I do the books. I just thought this was a really cool idea, and I think it is, but it's a pricey idea. I'm also, so as I said, the book is going ahead. It is going to be for sale. I'll share details during this episode. I'm also having a physical launch that's my first one ever, for my book on Thursday the September 5th. If you're in Perth, Western Australia, it's at 6 p.m. for a 6:30 start at the State Library in Perth, Western Australia, in town. It's going to be launched by Sasha Wosley, contemporary fiction author from Perth also. She's a pseudonym, Ash Harrier Children's Fiction. And I don't know what else is going to happen at this point. I've got to figure out what I'm going to do for the launch and stuff. This is obviously in September, but I've booked the venue, booked the launch, had the books, and yeah, so it's really just going to be a celebration, I think. I really just want to get together with everybody I know and celebrate all my hard work and sell some copies of my books, hopefully.
Thorn Creative, where beautiful websites for authors are brought to life. No matter what stage you're at with your writing, your stories deserve a dedicated space to shine. Whether you're just starting out or have a bookshelf full of bestsellers, your website is the hub of your author business, binding everything you and your books offer together. Thorn Creative can nurture all aspects of redesigning your old site or start afresh from the initial design. They can provide ongoing hosting and maintenance to marketing your books online, saving you time, money, and stress trying to wrangle your site yourself. An author website built by Thorn Creative can easily direct readers to your favorite retailers, your publisher, or simply set you up to sell to them direct. The options are endless. Thorn Creative have worked with many authors across all genres and know what goes into good, functional working author websites to sell books. Head on over to thorncreative.com.au/websitesforauthors to read author and publisher testimonials and to see what they offer and some of the sites they've created.
On writing emotionally charged, fast-paced, contemporary women's fiction with Joanne Morrell as Zara Ellen. So my contemporary women's fiction book, The Writer, The Hairdresser and The Nurse, is published by Sanguine Press. Sanguine Press is my imprint. This is the small press that I have set up to print my books as a self-publisher. The Writer, The Hairdresser and The Nurse intertwines the struggles and dynamics of three women's working family and romantic relationships, focusing on friendship to help get them through. The story is chronologically written, and the back of the blurb reads, "The writer, with declining book sales and critics calling Agnes Roberts' romance writing rigid, a lot depends on her next book. Is the stale relationship with her potentially cheating absent husband Doug to blame? Can she climb back to the bestseller lists with the help of Marcus Oliver, a handsome debut author waiting in the wings? The Hairdresser. Despite infertility impacting their lives, Donna's marriage to Matthew Hayden is a fairy tale, one her tyrant boss Amanda and unbearable mother-in-law try to destroy often. But when pushed to her absolute limit, can Donna break free of all that holds her back and go into business for herself, setting up her salon to save her spirit and her client, the nurse? Christy Johns is suffocating with 5 kids and an emergency department roster, leaving her feeling frazzled. With no support from her children's unemployed father Carl and her troubled sister Nat, free from jail and wanting back in their lives, can Christy open her heart to second chances from those who need it most?" And there's a little couple sentences. "Praise for Zara Ellen, a slippery ride through the drama of unravelling into the relentless truth of friendship." And that is from Zena Shapter, award-winning author of Towards White. So the story is chronologically written, so told in order of events. It doesn't jump back and forth or flashback. It's in third-person narrative. Each chapter is also told from the perspectives of best friends, the writer, the hairdresser, and the nurse, as you've gathered, I guess, from the blurb. So naturally, writing 3 storylines that intertwine is a bit of a skill, especially for 24 chapters with 3 scenes for each. With this book and the books going forward, so there's 4 in the series, all will be told from 3 women's perspectives and have stories intertwined. I plotted each character arc, main plots and subplots before beginning to write, and this helped me to stay on track. Your style might be different, but I think when there are multiple protagonists involved, some plotting has to happen to keep the story elements on track. Unless you're just that good at remembering what's going on or what comes next. I just don't know how you could be what they call a pantser or discovery writer, as some people call it, where they're just fumbling along to find out what goes on. Perhaps that could work, but just when you're juggling so much, I'm just not sure how that would go, and I certainly wouldn't be able to attempt it that way. I think would take quite a long time, but hey, reach out if I'm wrong and someone's done it this way. Good for you. For me, I had to have something written out to what was actually going on to keep me on track with each character. So character development, pacing and plot. Strong protagonists have depth and relatable flaws to us as human beings. So in my book's case, females. Readers should be able to empathize with their struggles and root for their successes. Now, as a female, the things that revolve around my life, and probably as a male as well, or, you know, if you don't identify as either, family, romance, and professionalism, so your job, your careers, these are pretty much the main elements in my book and in my life, really, that take up most of my time. These struggles and successes are relatable, I feel, to my readers, as it's all something as humans that we face every day. So who are my characters? The writer, Agnes Ryan, but her author name is Agnes Roberts. To the outside world, she has it all. Dream career, sexy, smart, successful husband, money, fame, 2 grown-up handsome sons studying at university. But behind closed doors, her husband's never home. Her book sales are dwindling and her sons don't return her calls. The only constant in her life are her best friends. Not one to quit, Agnes pours all her energies into getting back on top in her marriage, the bestseller lists, and pushing past unwanted feelings for a younger man. The hairdresser, Donna Hayden. Battling toxic belittlement at work and from her in-laws, Donna's marriage to her gallant husband is her saviour. Despite their infertility troubles, their romantic relationship is the envy of all. With self-doubt holding her back, Donna slowly draws strength from her lifelong friends to believe in herself and start her own hair salon, despite knowing absolutely nothing about running a business and putting herself in direct competition with her bully and ageist boss, Amanda. The nurse, Christy John's outer world as an emergency department nurse, is fast-paced and full-on, much like her daily life as a single mother to 19-year-old Eden, 14-year-old Trevor, and 8-year-old triplets Luke, Kai, and Carl Jr. The trials and tribulations of her children's father and troubled sister don't help much, but it's her inner world working overtime to get a handle on the ever-present anxiety she can't control nor understand. In times of need, her oldest friends are there for her. Dynamic relationships. Focus on the relationships between your characters, whether it's friendship, family, or romantic relationships. These dynamics should drive the emotional core of the story. These are the types of drama that, as I've mentioned, I focus on in my book. Each woman has a family drama. With Agnes, it's her children. They're distant. They don't have much to do with her at all. They've got more of a relationship with her husband. And she tries to sort of keep in contact with them, but they don't respond. Donna is infertile. She has problems there. And Christy is struggling with 5 children and little help from her estranged husband. So they're the family dramas between the characters. The romantic drama for each is Agnes's lackluster marriage and new love interest in a younger man. Donna's romantic drama is the pain in the arse in-laws. And Christy's romantic drama is null and void, trying to cope with everything else in her life. It doesn't leave much time for romance. And the professional drama, which is obviously the title of the book, The Writer, The Hairdresser, and The Nurse, is the declining book sales for Agnes, Donna's bully boss Amanda, and the overworked ED emergency department for Christy. Pacing and plot. My women's fiction book is fast-paced. The scenes and the drama move my story forward quite quickly. I don't delve into deep thought or stay for a long time in one spot. It's onwards with the action. This is my pace for this story, and you can follow plot structures to determine yours if you do things a little bit differently. I know writers where the pace is super slow and others where the pace just builds to a faster moving climax. It's your style, your choice. There's no right way or wrong way. I just wanted something quite moving, quite quickly. Drama-filled, really. I love drama. Also, for fast-paced, you can write short sentences and short paragraphs, you know, fast-paced scenes. Use short sentences and paragraphs to maintain a quick tempo and build tension, you know, quick, snappy. I do write that the style for these books is exactly that, short sentences and paragraphs. Short, sweet, snappy, move forward. They're not long, flowing, descriptive prose or anything like that. Engaging opening. Start with an intriguing hook that grabs the reader's attention immediately. Now, there's loads of ways that you can do this. The opening to my book. Magdalena hungrily watches Caspian brandish his knob like a weapon about to mass destruct her. Agnes holds the delete button down on her laptop, watching the sentence disappear. What kind of man swings his penis about in front of his lover? A cocky one, that's who. She scoffs, thinking of Doug's penis. How long has it been since she's seen it outside of her inventive mind? Running her fingers through her French bob, Agnes sips her strong coffee, printing another signature plum lip stain on the cup. Her cappuccino is cold, waiting for the others. Agnes, Donna, and Christy have been congregating at Café 38 every Tuesday afternoon for years, a tranquil eatery attached to a 4-star hotel overlooking a golf course. It gives off a holiday vibe in Perth's northern suburbs without you actually being on holiday. Pondering her next line, Agnes arches her slender neck towards the heat radiating from the highest point in the sky, the Western Australian sun working her prominent features like a facial. She opens her eyes, no shadows cast on the green. Perhaps she should take up golf, with caddies and buggies preceding her. Writing. Back to writing. Focus on writing. She isn't getting a whole lot done, distracted like this, which only signifies her writing stale, not good. Her phone rattles on the table. Her agent, evoking a sixth sense on Agnes's unproductive day. "Kimmy Lynn, hi," says Agnes, wondering why she keeps sipping her truly awful cold coffee. "How are you, beauty?" "Terrific. Just working on Stars Lovers and Sex in Between." "That's what we like to hear. I'm calling to confirm you're still attending Marcus Oliver's launch tonight as part of our Authors Supporting Authors program." That's the first page of my women's fiction book, The Writer, the Hairdresser and the Nurse. So not a lot of action is taking place, but I'm setting up the characters, the day, the time, the, you know, the climate, the tone. The first sentence talks about sex. It's fun, it's bouncy, it's punchy. I'm keeping it light. And depending on your book's feel, yours may be a bit different. You've maybe got to think, what is the best thing that you could start your story off on the first page to get people wanting to know more. So in that first page, the way that the book, as it's told, as I said, it's from the three characters' perspective. So it's always the way that the title is, The Writer, the Hairdresser and the Nurse. It's always Agnes first, then Donna, then Christy. So the story flows that way, which made it a little difficult at times. It also shows the writer in her natural habitat, which is writing at the cafe that they always get together at, Friendship. It's her kind of pining after her husband, feeling a little bit, setting up that storyline. Subplots. Introduce secondary subplots that complement the main storyline. These can add depth and can keep the narrative from becoming predictable. The main plots for my protagonist is the writer, Agnes. Is her husband cheating? The hairdresser, Donna, can she make it as a business owner against her bully boss? And the nurse, Christy, can she give second chances to her troubled sister and her estranged husband as well as forgive herself? So the subplots for each of the characters, the subplots which feed into these main plots is Agnes's book sales declining and trying to get back to the bestseller lists, as well as the romance with Marcus Oliver, Donna's infertility and, you know, not so great relationship with her in-laws. There is another sort of subplot that comes up for both Donna and Christy kind of halfway through the book, but I'm not going to go into that. With Donna's, it's more a professional thing. With Christy's, it's family related, because that gives too much away. In Christy's subplots, really her sister is appearance and things like that is a subplot, because the main story for Christy, as I said, well, it's more her, the anxiety, and actually the main subplot for Christy is more the anxiety stuff that she's coping with. That could be, that's kind of like a subplot, I guess. Emotional depth. We hear this all the time as authors. Show, don't tell. Use descriptive language to convey emotions through actions, dialogues, and internal thoughts rather than simply stating how a character feels. So to do this, think of the emotion in the scene that you're writing, or the emotion of the characters, the atmosphere, and think about the, not just saying, you know, your character's angry, think about the physicality of your character's body, their persona, all that emotion for anger. Some people ball their fists, some people shake, some people even cry angry tears. How do you react when you're angry? How's your character's body reacting? What are their facial expressions? Do they throw things? How's their breathing? What's their voice like? You know, their body language, their movements. Are they, you know, are they speaking faster? Are they high-pitched? Is their tone changed? Are they running around crazy, frantic, not knowing what to do? These are the things that are showing someone is feeling this emotion, rather than she's angry. She stood there, fists balled, body shaking, muscles tense. Like, that sort of shows that sort of thing. So definitely, this is one way I write for sure. These emotionally charged scenes is I think about how the character is feeling in that moment and what is actually happening to her physical body and things and everything about her and around her. Conflict and resolution. Create emotional highs and lows by putting your characters in challenging situations. The resolution of these conflicts should provide emotional payoff. So in my book, Agnes is put in a situation with a reviewer, which really puts her on the spot in the public eye. She can either crumble or make it through with her head held high. And the dialogue for that scene I am particularly proud of, and I remember feeling so for Agnes when I was writing it. I thought, yeah, stick it to her, Agnes. But I can't read it out because, again, it's spoilers of what actually happens in the story. Writing style, active voice, use active voice to create a sense of immediacy and keep the narrative dynamic. So my book is written in the active voice, and to be honest, I had the help of my editor, Zena Shapter, make sure that it was, which was a big job because I do try, and I think going forward, you know, that's something I'll make sure I try and do, write in the active voice. She is rather than she was. Themes and messages, universal themes. So the overall theme for this whole series that I'm writing is friendship. This book started off as a dedication to a couple of my best friends from high school and primary school, and the dedication in the book actually reads it to Debbie the nurse and Steph the hairdresser from the writer Joe. This first book, The Writer, the Hairdresser and the Nurse, explores connection between lifelong friends, you know, best friends. The second book will focus on new friends, and I'm thinking online friends for the third, and I'm not sure about the fourth. So the overall themes is friendship in all its different forms and things like that, as well as all the other dramas and stuff that's included. Revision and feedback. Beta readers. Utilize beta readers who are fans of women's fiction to provide feedback on emotional and pacing aspects. So the first two readers of my work will always be my mum, first and foremost, and my sister. They are vivacious readers. And I know some people say, don't take the opinions of loved ones as it can be biased. But, you know, Stephen King, the first reader of his work is his wife. These people, they... they might just tell you like it is. But the fact is, my sister and my mum read widely and a lot, and I respect their opinion when it comes to literature. And obviously if they enjoy it, because they can hold it up against other books as well. So, as well as obviously employing the thoughts and feedback of other people, other readers, beta readers in the field as well. Edit ruthlessly. Cut any unnecessary scenes or details that slow down the pace or detract from the emotional core of the story. Following a plot structure, I didn't really feel I had to do this very much because, you know, the scenes were written to structure rather than me just writing, going back and being like, do I need this, do I need that? I needed everything. Again, whatever way you do it is going to be different. So these are all just tips that I'm sharing that of the process that I've just gone through. And you might find something in there quite useful or give it a go. There's no one way of doing it. This is the Hybrid Author Podcast. We utilize all different ways of doing things. So by focusing on these elements, the ones that I've just gone through, you can craft a gripping and emotionally resonant narrative that appeals to readers of women's fiction. So I hope you found that useful. That loan or sold from me on writing emotionally charged, fast-paced women's fiction. If you are keen to buy, read or review my new book, The Writer, the Hairdresser and the Nurse, written under pseudonym Zara Ellen, you can reach out to me via my website, hybridauthor.com.au, and buy it over at hybridauthor.com.au/books. And I hope to see you at the launch soon. That's Thursday, September 5th at the State Library in Perth, Western Australia, 6 p.m. for a 6:30 start. Next time on the Hybrid Author Podcast, we have author-illustrator Kylie Howarth chatting to us on new geographic areas in a graphic novel format and winning the West Australian Premier's Book Award Writers Fellowship. I wish you well in your author adventure this next week. That's it from me. Bye for now.
That's the end for now, authors. I hope you are further forward in your author adventure after listening, and I hope you'll listen next time. Remember to head on over to the Hybrid Author website at www.hybridauthor.com.au to get your free author pass. It's bye for now.